You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome to another instalment of our occasional podcast called I Wish I Hadn't. I'm Dave Hill.
And I'm John Wyatt. As you can tell from our names, David and Jonathan, we were born in the 1950s, so we've had many years to accumulate embarrassing moments which we now feel happy to share.
The dictionary defines regret as a sorrowful remembrance, a sense of loss. But we're not in the business of sorrow and loss here. We're dealing with those things in life that we might wish had been otherwise, but which we're now prepared to own up to.
Okay, so picture the scene. David and Jonathan, 11 years old, trembling at the knees in their shorts,
in our shorts,
as they march up to secondary school for yeah. their first day. Still unknown to one another.
Totally, of course. Unknown. Yes, I mean you were from the dark side of the Bridport area.
Yes,
and I was a Bemister boy. So yep.
I mean, we still don't quite know how we first became aware of one another, really. But I always considered we were friends from the age of 11. Quite how that happened.
I think because we were in two different classes for a start off, weren't we? Yeah. I was in Pils and you were in Wadden.
Yeah.
And but our form rooms were on the same floor, weren't they?
Yes.
I remember right on top of the building, and I think at various times there was mixing between the at lunchtimes and that if we were indoors,
yes,
and before school and that.
I suppose you know we should start off this episode by saying I wish I hadn't met you, but
no, that would be far from the truth. John.
Yes.
Far from the truth.
So secondary school, entire new breadbasket of things.
Yes.
And there were subjects at secondary school I really didn't enjoy,
which I hadn't done. Funnily enough, when we were making notes about this, the first things I wrote down were subjects I didn't enjoy.
So what were they for you?
Well, I think mainly, I didn't enjoy the practical things, really. The woodwork and the metalwork side of things.
Because those are the two.
Basically, I was rubbish at them.
Yeah, me too. Particularly metalwork.
Oh, metalwork, yeah. Horrendous.
No, I wish that had just been excluded from the
I think it was Wednesday afternoons, weren't they, or something like that, or Thursdays.
No, Wednesday afternoon was games.
Oh yeah, no, it would have been a Thursday morning or something.
Yeah.
I can remember, you know, being obtaining an apron. You had to have an apron, didn't you? To bring your own apron.
Yes, that's right.
And I can remember having an apron.
Wish I still had mine.
That but I can remember this apron was way, way too big for me at 11. And I can remember having to sort of roll up various bits of it and then tie it with the ties and hope it all stayed up. And during the morning, it would obviously start to fall down. So that in the end, it was like a curtain just above my feet with this apron, you know, to reach it all up.
Had you bought it? Because I think my mum made me an apron for woodwork.
It wasn't a flowery one.
No, it wasn't. It was dark green, I remember.
Yeah.
And it had a pocket at the front.
Oh, they had a pocket at the front. I think mine was, it was either second hand or it was bought from a shop for, you know, and they said, it's what the old you'll grow into it type thing.
Yeah.
But no, metal, I can remember, I mean, my abiding memory, apart from not particularly liking the teacher, which I...
No, who was shouty, wasn't he?
Shouty.
Yeah.
I just remember that the one thing that I almost made, and I say almost because it never completely worked, was the little copper ashtray that we had to make. And if you remember, we had to sort of cut out this with some snips. You had to cut out the piece of copper, beat it until it became concave.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that was fine. And you could make some little bits in it for resting people's cigarettes in, obviously. which these days, no, I don't think so. But then the bit that came that was the bit that that really flummoxed me was the feet.
Yes.
You had to make three...
You had to solder them on, didn't you?
Well, first of all, you had to turn on a lathe three little metal feet.
I didn't enjoy the lathe.
Which was frightening, wasn't it? frightening. I could see myself being, you know, taken into it.
Yeah, I could see my fingers being severed, you know. Yeah.
But you had to... So I turned those, and that was fine. I turned three of those. Now, over the ensuing weeks, I remember each week we came back and I'd not done any more... There'd only be two there or one there, so you had to make some more.
Yeah.
Eventually, I hung on to the three of them, and you had to, as you say, you had to solder them to the copper. And it was demonstrated that you put this solder on, you put the thing on, and then you used a brazing torch to solder it.
Mm.
And it was demonstrated, it looked very easy. Now, each time I did it, the brazing torch knocked the feet off, and the feet would go down behind where the lathe and stuff was, and I'd be back to square one again. And I think I spent the whole term not making an ashtray, basically. I thought, this is just ridiculous. You know?
You just end up with an ashtray without legs. Yeah.
Totally.
A wobbly ashtray. Yeah. I made a plum bob. I mean, what the hell use is a plum bob? You know, this is a thing that you put on a bit of string and you drop it down a wall to make sure your wall is straight.
Yeah.
I mean, what use would I ever, or anybody I knew, have for a plum bob? And I, you know, this thing you made on the lathe, you know, terrified of the lathe chopping your fingers off.
And you're telling me you haven't got it still?
I haven't got the plum bob. I haven't got anything I made. I made a tray in woodwork. But I also remember spending one whole term in woodwork planing a bit of wood. Started off with a large lump of wood and ended up with a matchstick. You know, what did it teach you other than patience, really?
I do remember I made something quite creative in woodwork when we were given a bit of a free hand. And it was from a very nice sort of, it was a beautiful sort of chestnutty brown piece of wood that I'd carved and smoothed this sort of deliciously, I suppose it wasn't phallic exactly, but it was more like the female form, I suppose. And it sort of came in the middle and went out at the top and had a little curve at the top.
And what do we know of the female form at that?
Knew nothing at the time.
No.
But I just thought it was a nice shaped piece of wood. And then for some reason I decided that what I would do to make it more interesting was drill a hole in it through the middle.
Yeah.
And so I got a drill and I started to drill through. And as I drilled through, the drill bit broke inside. and so then I had to get a chisel and a mallet and chop the wood out around very carefully so that the teacher didn't see that I'd broken the drill bit, basically. And so... It ended up with this shape, which is almost like a doorway in it, which is where the dug out the thing.
It sounds very futuristic. I can imagine that as a Barbara Hepworth.
It sounds to me like it ought to be worth a fortune. But whenever people have seen it, they said, "Oh, that's interesting. Why has it got that hole in there?" And I always say, "That's where I broke the drill bit."
Well, it still had the drill bit in it.
That would have been even better sticking out, wouldn't it? Really.
Yeah.
But so woodwork and metalwork. The only good thing about woodwork, if I remember rightly, was that you could stand and do things in the window and watch the girls playing tennis on the courts in the summer.
Yes.
You know, as we got older, that was the best part about it.
It was really, wasn't it? Yeah. And another thing, algebra. What was the point of algebra?
Yeah.
Never got that.
No.
I've always been quite good at mental arithmetic, but, you know, I spend a lot of time
Why use a letter for a number when a number is quite sufficient, really?
Exactly. I mean, there are mathematicians out there now gnawing their knuckles and saying, fool, you know, you don't understand.
You don't get it. And I said, well, no, I didn't.
No, I didn't get it either. Yeah. Could have been the quality of teaching, I suppose.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it just didn't inspire us.
I mean, as you know, it took me a little while to get my maths O level because I just didn't get it, really.
No.
But then again, I suppose, you know, that's, as you say, that is down to the teaching. And it was once I went to a different teacher that I suddenly understood things enough to get me through my own level. Mm. And that's all down to the way it was taught, I think, in certain ways.
Undeniably, they were good teachers, you know. But there were also some pretty terrible ones as well. I guess that's, you know, that's, anybody has that school experience.
Well, you know, we both experienced, of course, a maths teacher was very good with a piece of chalk, I remember. Yes. Not for drawing on the board, but throwing at people.
Yeah. And the blackboard rubbers, I remember being thrown. I got pretty good at ducking.
Yeah.
Because I used to sit at the back of the class with Alan and Bugs.
Yeah.
And Mr. I can't remember what he was called.
I can remember his name, but I don't think we should mention it.
No, maybe not. Yeah. No. He might still be around. Alive. thing that we didn't touch in the first part of the primary was bullying.
Mm.
Mm. Were you ever bullied at primary or secondary?
I think physically, no. I don't recall being physically bullied. I can remember being frightened of some boys.
Yes.
Big boys, you know, because I wasn't a big boy.
I was more frightened of the girls, I think.
Yeah, and I used to avoid them. I always remember there were sort of certain small groups of boys that would roam around at lunchtime and things.
Yeah.
And I was always wary and, you know, at the corner of my eye watching where they were and making sure I wasn't there, you know. Because they were the sort who would suddenly surround someone, wouldn't they? And you wouldn't see anything happen, but someone would end up with a bruise.
Well, I think of bullying more as verbal bullying than physical, you know, taunting.
I mean, I don't know about yourself, but I found that as I became that sort of awkward adolescent age, around about the 14, 15 years old, I wouldn't say I was bullied. I didn't like some of the sort of nickname stuff that came my way.
Well, that's the thing, you see, because I never had any nicknames. I was known as YY. You had a lot of nicknames.
I did have a number, yes.
You. I mean, you were Little Fluffy.
Little Fluffy, yes. I shouldn't laugh, but yes, I was. Yes.
You were the linesman.
The linesman, yes.
I am a lineman used to be sung at you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I am a linesman for the county.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays they call it being dropped to the bench, don't they? Because there wasn't a bench in those days. I just wasn't picked for the team. I was the reserve.
Yeah.
And they'd give you a flag and say, well, you run the line for it. Yeah. And yes, there was a certain person who managed to work the Glen Campbell song into that, basically.
But I also remember you because of... I imagine an association with Jackie Dan that you were known as Jackie.
Yeah. That was very early on, wasn't it?
It was
sort of assumed that we were a boyfriend and girlfriend at one point, which wasn't really the case, I don't think.
No.
I think I probably...
So I don't know why you got attached to all these nicknames, you know. I mean, no. It was mild. It was teasing more than taunting.
It was teasing, but I mean, the one that I did, I mean, you know, years on, I realised I wasn't happy about was that when I grew very quickly and tall, I became very gangly and thin and a little bit effete, probably.
And, I know where and this is there, going. Yeah,
there was a point at which, you know, it was suggested that this was because of, shall we say, a way that I was leaning in those days. Well, I wasn't.
Yes. No.
And the point was, because that nickname then stuck for a while, I did find it not bullying exactly, but the teasing I didn't like.
Shall we say what the nickname? They were different times.
They were different times. Yes,
but we can say what the nickname was, can we?
Well, it's difficult, but it was.
I'm going to say.
Go on.
It was Pansy.
It was Pansy.
Pansy.
Pans people.
Well, that was what was written on your dad's car in the dust on the back of it. John Kipper Cleal. Yes. Why he was Kipper, I don't quite know.
No.
He wrote Pans people on the back, which I thought was actually very witty.
It was witty, but you see, I didn't particularly like it. But
I'm sure you did.
But the point, the problem was, I liked the people that you know. It was Mr. Cleo and everything. They were good friends, and so I took it. But I always remember thinking, I hope it doesn't go on too long, because I didn't.
No,
I wasn't comfortable with it. No. I also thought it was going to spoil my chances of any romantic liaisons with any of the girls in the class. Yeah,
you were just David Bowie ahead of your time.
I was really. And if I'd known that, I might have used that. And but at the time, I was just embarrassed because I was tall and gangly, and I'd grown taller than most people over that summer holidays, you know.
Yeah. There was an unfortunate nickname, so it was. I remember one instance of bullying by taunting, which I feel quite ashamed of, really. Mm. And then we all did it.
Yeah.
And it was when we were probably about 15 or 16, and you all had to change, you know, together.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
In the changing rooms. Mm-hmm. Went into the shower, and there was one boy who was a year above us. I don't know if you remember this. And he wasn't particularly unpopular, but somebody came up with the idea that when he came out of the shower without anything on, we would all point to his nether regions. And laugh.
Mm.
And we did this, and he looked, you know, puzzled, then sort of embarrassed, then mortified, as if there was something wrong. We were all laughing at him as if we were laughing at his genitalia, because we decided, do you remember that?
I don't remember that, no.
But the whole, all the boys in the year, we'd been playing, you know, rugby or cricket or something like that, all did this, and I remember feeling, actually afterwards, rather ashamed that I'd joined in with that.
Well, I think it's good that you did feel ashamed, really, because it shows that you're not the sort of person who would take huge pleasure in someone else's.
No, there was no reason to do it. You know, we just decided to. You know, somebody decided, said, "Let's do this." You know, and used his surname, which as one did in those days.
But. No, it's. I think we probably were bullied or experienced bullying far more than we realised at the time. I suppose because of the way that bullying is looked on these days.
But then also there was a certain amount of bullying of teachers, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
And that comes back again to nicknames.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've talked about this, you know, the biology teacher who was known as Fogey.
Yeah, yeah.
And the religious education teacher who was known as Conchy.
Yeah,
you know. Conchy. And that is, again, actually, to think of it, that's a real I wish I hadn't.
Quite
embarrassing. Yeah. He was called that. Yeah. We should explain for anybody, you know, who because wouldn't understand. Because he was
a conscientious objector.
Because he had, in the war, been a conscientious objector, which takes a lot of courage to do.
Actually, now you have a lot of sort of respect for that, don't you, really?
But in those days, it was considered to be, you know, not quite, you know, up to the mark. And so I suppose the news had got around, he'd been a conscientious objector, and he was called by us in his hearing, probably.
Yes.
Conscientious. Yeah. You know.
But I suppose, you know, having, he would have probably heard worse during the time that he was a conscious objector.
He probably
objector.
Would. Yeah. So it was doesn't probably, make me feel any better.
It doesn't make us feel any better, but it was probably water off a duck's back to him at the time.
I suppose.
You know, it's, yeah. I mean, it's difficult. I mean, of course, you know, we, again, cruelly, there was, I think a trainee teacher, who we call Clarence.
Yes.
Do you remember Clarence?
Yes,
because
I do.
She... unfortunately had some sort of astigmatism and cross-eyed.
Clarence the cross-eyed lion.
Clarence the cross-eyed lion from Daktari.
We
called her Clarence, and it was embarrassing because she would point at someone and you weren't quite sure who she was pointing at, because one eye was looking at one person and the other one was looking at someone else.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of confusion around that time.
Yeah, I mean, children can be particularly mean, can't they?
I experienced it in my career, and I think we experienced it while we were...
And there was the history teacher, the female history teacher, who had, a healthy moustache.
Yes, indeed, yes.
And was, probably technically obese.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there must have been many unkind comments.
Well, yes, there were songs about...
Yes.
Presents for Christmas for her, I've seen before. I'm not going to go into them now, because Finishave was mentioned in it. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So they're probably all things that you wish you could take back now.
I think there's more I wish I hadn't in this than at any of our previous podcasts.
I think you're probably right.
Because,
realise
that,
of secondary school, isn't it, really?
Did you get any punishments while you were at secondary school at all?
No, I was very good at dodging punishments.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I ever remember was being sent out of the class. And frankly, that was a blessing, really, because it used to happen in maths quite often. I would be sent to stand outside, which I never minded. I'm quite happy to stand outside because it meant I didn't have to do maths.
I don't know if you remember being sent out of assembly. Remember me being sent out of assembly?
Didn't you mention this in a previous episode?
I probably did before. I mean, it was to do with the chair of governors.
That's right.
Socks.
Yes.
I mean, but that was the only time that I recall. Well, it was any time I was ever sent out of assembly. Only time I was ever really in any serious trouble in that school. I mean, as I've said to you many times, I was at a disadvantage because my dad taught there, so I couldn't really get into serious trouble because it would have been fairly horrendous if I had.
But do you remember also another thing that some people had to stay behind after assembly to clear up the chairs? And a way had been discovered to get out of doing that, because it was unpopular, that if you squatted down and held your breath and jumped up suddenly, you would black out.
You could black out, yeah.
I never actually tried it because I didn't really want to, but people would do that to get out of stacking the chairs, wouldn't they?
Yeah, the thought of doing it frightened me, I've got to be honest, I don't think I've mentioned... The most famous misdemeanour of mine, of course, was when we went on the environmental trip.
Yes,
to,
the field studies.
The field studies trip.
Yes.
And, of course, that was... It wasn't the most exciting of places, was it? It was in the Forest of Dean.
Yeah, Forest of Dean. Right, yeah.
And just to refresh your memory, of course, I decided to leave my mark there.
Yes, on a sort of a plasticky chair.
On a plasticky chair, yeah.
With arms and
a biro, and on the back of it I wrote my initials. And you think, well, I could probably get away with that, yeah.
Yes.
But I also dated it as well.
Not terribly bright.
Put the date on it. And,
really.
And then I was called to the staff room, and when we got back, and they'd had a phone call from this place to say, you know, did you realise that one of your students, and we know it's one of your students because he's dated it, has put his initials on one of our chairs. And I was told off by the geography teacher. Not ridiculous, not harshly. I mean, he basically felt sorry for the fact that I'd been quite so stupid as to actually date it as well as put my initials on it. Yeah, Mr. Blow. Mr. Blow did, yeah.
Because we had a very unpopular headmaster, didn't we?
We did.
Nobody liked him, but again, you know, he was always sort of at odds with our group when we were in the sixth form, but I never remember, you know, getting sort of punishments particularly.
No, I mean, I think his style was, I mean, we were going through that period of time where hair was getting longer.
Yeah.
And attitudes to uniform were changing, and he was very much of the old school, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I think there was a real clash there, a real clash of cultures.
What was your attitude to exams?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I didn't like doing exams. I don't think I ever studied hard enough for them. The biggest problem for me when it came to things like, well, A-levels mainly, was that I got what they called an unconditional acceptance to teach a training college. And sometimes I wish I hadn't, because I think I would have worked a lot harder.
Yeah.
I would have given myself far more chance of, if you like, even more of a choice of career if I'd done that. Because my attitude to the A level exams was, well, it doesn't really matter if I get them or not, because they're not gonna chuck me out of the college. So I didn't enjoy them. I always felt I'd not really answered the questions as well as I could have done.
No, they didn't hold any terror for me, but I have a similar sort of experience and wish I hadn't, for a different reason, that I think I would have done better at exams. But the summer that we sat our A-levels was very hot and sunny.
Yes, it was. Yeah,
and we used to only have to go in for our exams, didn't we?
Yes.
The rest of the time you could turn up at school and we would go to what was known as the top field. This happened at both O and A levels, and you would generally dick around, either playing football or trying to flirt with the girls.
Absolutely. Great memories.
Great memories. And I do remember, particularly at A levels, that it grew into a kind of a challenge to see who could get out of an exam the fastest.
Yeah.
Because they were 3-hour exams.
Yes.
And you were only supposed to be let out after an hour. That was the minimum time you could spend.
Yeah.
I remember getting out of one exam after 58 minutes. And I think that was the record. And I did it because I wanted to get the record to get out of the exam the fastest. I think it was the S-level history, so it didn't really matter. And I failed it because I wanted to get back to the top field to carry on flirting with, I don't remember who it was, possibly Wendy or...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it held far more attraction, didn't it, really, than sitting in a stuffy exam room answering questions on something you weren't really interested in.
Yeah.
Whereas the thought of flirting with one of the young ladies in the top field was far more interesting.
Much more
exciting prospect.
So again, had I applied myself more, I probably could have got, better grades. It wouldn't have made any difference in the long run. No, but I think, so it's not particularly regret, but I mean, it's a thing that I could have done better, frankly.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the, it wasn't the, it always seemed important enough, but... at the time, but I even remember when my results came, it didn't really upset me particularly. It was like, oh well, there you go. I'm off to college anyway, so
I think I think we had a fairly lackadaisical approach to the end of school, didn't we, really? All assumed that we would end up somewhere. None of the job anxiety that there must be nowadays.
There seemed to be more opportunities, I think, for further education as well, if we'd wanted it, and also the world of work, it was out there. So we could have, of course, gone and worked in the plastic factory.
We could have done
A careers teacher did suggest to me when I said I want to be a teacher. He said, "Well, I don't think you're going to be up to that. So there are opportunities at the plastics factory."
That's encouraging.
Was really a great thing to say to someone,
Well, I had a careers teacher who suggested I go into town planning.
Okay, yes.
Glad I didn't do that. Glad I didn't listen to his advice.
I can imagine what the sort of towns you'd have planned, John.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they've been pretty but unworkable, yeah. Yeah. No, it is strange to think. I think of them as very happy years. We again, avoided getting into trouble because we, in the sixth form, we would just wander out of school, wouldn't we, and go down to Bemitzer, to the pub.
To the pub, to the cafe.
There was no sort of control. You just had to sort of check in the morning, and then you were free to do pretty much whatever you wanted.
Absolutely, or just hang around the sixth form flat, basically.
Exactly.
Which is in the summer was quite nice. I mean, I think I've got a picture somewhere of a number of us all sort of sat on the grass outside, and the flat in the background. The house, which I think we were very lucky to have something like that. I don't think many schools had.
No,
sixth form, self-running flats. So,
yeah. Would you have studied different subjects if you go back? You know, did you?
No, I don't think so, because I might have tried harder in the ones that I studied. But to be honest, the options only were of the ones that I'd studied were against those subjects that I couldn't do.
Yeah, exactly.
The sciences and the practical stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd never have been. It wouldn't have made.
Were you as rubbish at science as me?
I was hopeless. Yeah.
I mean, the only science exam I did was chemistry, and I was in the O level group.
Yeah.
And the chemistry teacher said, "You're not going to get this O level. Yeah. You put you down into the CSE group."
Well, that's
and
right.
And
that's
I scraped to CSE.
Yeah, just about got through the CSE.
I didn't do biology. Now, biology, sex education.
Yeah.
Do you remember any sex education?
No, I remember frogs.
Yeah.
I
remember some talk about chickens. But that was, you know... I don't think we had any serious sex education.
No. No, it was. I don't recall any sex education at school. To be honest.
So generally, one's concept of sex, unless your parents talk to you, and my parents didn't really. Mm. I think my dad said to me at some stage, you know, do you, you know about, you know, the details of sex? And I kind of, you know, went red and said, yeah, thanks, I don't need to know, But you picked that up at school. I mean, I can remember jokes that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
You know, some of the boys making a joke, which was obviously funny because it had a sexual connotation, and I didn't know. I remember one, actually, I think it was Paul Rendell, and he said, did you hear about the homosexual sheriff who came... the homosexual cowboy who came into town and shot up the sheriff.
Yeah.
And I
you thought,
don't get that, you know.
Yeah.
Why is that funny? You know. And they all laughed, and so I would have laughed.
Yeah.
So I suppose, yeah, there was an innocence there that probably kids don't have nowadays, maybe.
Well, I think we've covered quite a lot of secondary education there, John.
I haven't actually talked about my invisibility at secondary school, have I? Which does take us on to the school reunion.
Yeah, I think probably we could finish on that, couldn't we?
Because I think we could finish on that.
Having mentioned all these things that happened at secondary school, I think you should tell us of your experiences of becoming invisible.
You and Alan and I went back to a school reunion, and it must have been 15...
easily
20 years afterwards.
Yeah.
And it was at the school. It was quite funny to go back to, wasn't it? Mm. And we all had our name badges that we stuck on our lapels, or in my case, I think a silk shirt, actually. That was weird. and saw people there that you hadn't seen for a couple of decades. And you and Alan were hugely amused because a few people pretended complete ignorance of my having gone to the school. They didn't seem to remember me. I've always been a person with a very good memory. And you know, we had that thing where you and Alan and I sat down one night, tried to remember everybody in our year.
Yes.
We came up with nearly 100 names, didn't we?
Yeah.
But I was just perturbed that a few people there seemed to have no memory of me having been in their year at the school. And I thought to myself, why was I so insignificant? I didn't...
completely invisible. Am I living in a dream here?
Yeah.
Did I dream it?
You know, so I kind of thought I should have done something more notable. You know, I wish I probably hadn't had that experience, although it still seems funny to me that people should have had no memory of me being at school.
Well, there you go. Well, I mean, on that, John, as you fade into the distance from every memory, we'll leave that there, I think.
Do we want the genie to...
I think early on, and there were quite a few things that I think I'd like the genie to take away my sudden growth spurt, to be honest.
Yes.
Because it would have...
There's nothing wrong with the growth spurt. It was just the names...
No, it was the names that went with it, I think, really, yeah.
So maybe the genie should take away Kipper Cleal.
No, that'd be a bit unfair, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
really?
It would,
yeah.
I think I'd like the genie to remove the unkindness of us all laughing at one. We're probably giving him a complex about his wang.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as far as I can remember, there wasn't anything particularly notable about it, nor wrong with it.
No.
But we probably gave him maybe a complex for the rest of his life by laughing at him. So I'd kind of like that to be remembered.
Yeah, he will look back on school days and say, do you know what they did to me?
Yeah. I'd like, you know, when whoever proposed doing that, I said, no, that's unkind. Yeah. But I didn't, you know, I went along with it. And so I'd like that one. Jeannie, take that one away, please.
Well done, Jeannie, for assuaging our thoughts there.
Assuaging, there you are, there's education.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.